thinking about this tonight, this question. This is a value question. It has to do with your values and my values. Who would even want, in this day and time, which is we're living in wicked times, but who would even want in this day and time to do blank, 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 blank? Now, if you turn in your Bible to the book of Psalm 119, Psalm 119, and we'll start our service with the reading of God's holy word. And we're going to focus in particular in the second section. We looked at the first section, but now we're going to look at verses 9 through 16. The question is, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So the question is in the form of verse number 9. This question is a derivative of verse number 9. I've just tried to personalize it. How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, who in the world wants to keep their way pure? You. Do you want to keep your way pure? Do you want to keep your mind pure? Do you want to keep your heart pure? You would agree with me that a person has to have a want to before this is applicable. I mean, the truth is there, but applicable to my mind, my heart, my lifestyle, my habits of things that I do, my interactions of people. So, who would even want in this present day and time to keep their, it's theirs, it's ours. We're in control of it. Or the word used there is pure. I think this is something for us to consider, and it would profit us tonight to just spend just a few moments just a few minutes in our time to do some questioning of our own hearts. Now, many people, you included, would say, this is truth, this is God's word, this is pure, this is right, this is holy. But in order for that to change this, and to change this, and to change my walk, I got to get it, this, in me. I've got to value this. I've got to apply this. And too many people claim and profess that this, I believe this, but you only believe what you truly practice. That you can theoretically believe in your head, but you only practically believe what you practice. Let's think about these verses. This is convicting to me. This is something that I need here as well as you. What is needed and what has to be understood, that this takes effort on my part. What is the meaning of effort? Huh? I can't understand what you're saying. Applying yourself. Putting into action. Effort. The word effort just literally means some exertion. Some, whatever the situation might be, I am putting this into practice. I am putting effort into this or that. And everything that I see in verses 9 down to verse 16 talks about effort. How many would like to have big, strong muscles? How many? Now don't tell me some of you don't want to have big, strong muscles. You used to have them. I'm not talking about you ladies not being feminine. I'm not talking about you bulking up like a bodybuilder, but how do we get firm, fit bodies? Not flabby bodies, not fat bodies. It takes what? Effort. I want them, the big muscles. I want the healthy body. I want the excess fat gone. I just don't want it that bad, it looks like. I could have it. But at this point in time, my wanter is not really overcoming my reluctance, because I know what it takes. I know the hours of walking. I know the hours of exercise and strenuousness. I know that you have to put aside certain kinds of food. And you need to eat other kinds. What I'm just talking about, effort. Now, in verses 9 to 16, look at all the effort. If I really want to have a heart that's clean, a pure life, what all must I do? Well, first of all, there in verse number 9, I got to guard my heart. I've got to guard it from things that are bad for me. And I've got to make sure that it has access and that it is pointed in the direction of the right things. How can a young man keep his way pure? The King James says, how can a young man keep from sinning? Wherewithal, whereunto shall a young man keep his way pure? I think that's how it goes. By taking heed thereto according to his word. But the word guarding here, that keeping the word, that is an action, that is something that has to be put into effort to guard something, to keep something. That's what the word keep literally means. It means to keep, like a jailer would keep a prisoner and guard that prisoner. In the same way, by keeping God's word, guarding our heart, keeping our way pure. Verse number 10, another thing of effort. Seek you with my whole heart. I seek you. That's effort. We seek what we want. Every one of us, we seek what we desire, what we want. He says that I have to, with my whole heart, Psalm 119, verse 10, with my whole heart, I seek you. And then, prayer. Do you see prayer in verse number 10? He prays, let me not wander from your commandments. Do you pray like that? Do we pray like that? God, help me not to wander. Help me not to stray. Why would a person not want to wander? Some people, it seems, they want to wander. They want to stray. Why would a person not want to wander from the path? Well, it's because that person has a pure heart. They want to follow the Lord. They want to follow His word. They want to follow His ways. Verse number 11, we're looking for effort now. Effort on our part. David said, I have stored up your word in my heart. Again, the King James says, thy word have I hid in my heart. That means stored up. I have stored up. Like a person would store up something that's valuable. Storing up food for the winter or for the hard time. Storing up or hiding valuable things. That takes effort. I stored up, I hid your word in my heart. Now, why would a person do that? Look at the rest of the verse. Because he said, I don't want to sin. Now, there's two kinds of people. Those that want to sin and those that don't want to sin. You either have a desire to be pure, to be clean, to be right, or you have a desire to stray, be defiled. Or, doesn't matter whether you sin against God or not. Now, there was a time in my life I didn't care whether I sinned against God. In fact, in a sense, I prayed, not to the Lord, but I prayed for the right situations and to pray that I could sin and sin successfully and sin enjoyably. That's the way my heart used to be, as wicked as it was. I desired. That's all I thought about as a young man. But then God changed my heart. He changed me from the inside out. Did I still struggle? Man, did I struggle. But now I couldn't enjoy my sin. Now I was convicted of my sin. Now I was, in a sense, repulsed, though I wanted to do it, but that Holy Spirit was checking my spirit, putting a check there, causing me, and through struggles through my young Christian life as a teen in my sanctification, praise the Lord, I'm not where I used to be. But in my 63rd year, do I still battle with sin? Yes. Do I love sin? No. Do I strive to kill sin in my life? Yes. Have I successfully done it in mind, thought, and deeds? No. But there's one thing that I can say, is that like David says in verse number 11, I don't want to sin against you. That's God. I don't want to sin against my Lord. This takes effort. This is not something where you are in automatic mode or cruise control mode, where now that you're saved, that you will always desire and walk in the ways of the Lord. No, it takes effort. And so I've stored up your word in my heart. Part of my responsibility to you as a congregation, just like I'm doing right now, before I can break down what it says here, I got to break it down by myself in the holy place of my study or wherever I am. In other words, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I try to put it out there so that you can hear the Word of God. You can apply the Word of God. The Word of God can change you so that you will not sin against God. Sunday morning we looked at Paul there in the book of Acts 9 and also 2 Corinthians 7, 1 about the two kinds of sin, the two classifications of sin, sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit. External sins, internal sins. And then Sunday night there in Romans 8. In other words, there's no excuse for someone to say, well, I can't get the Word of God. I don't have a church where I can come and hear the Word of God and don't have it preached and taught to me. You have it preached and taught to you. Are you storing it up? Are you storing up God's word in your heart so that you won't sin against God? It takes effort. Effort by being in the word, by coming to the house of God. It takes effort on our part. Verse number 12, what's the effort? David says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. What's the effort? You got a teacher in a classroom, in a college classroom, teaching knowledge, teaching truth, but you don't show up to class. Everything that they teach in that classroom, does it profit you? Does it help you if you don't show up to class? David's asking the Lord to teach me your statutes. What's the effort? The effort is, on my part, I got to show up to class, or I got to open the book, or I've got to set before the preaching and teaching of the word. Effort. God, teach me. God will teach you. You want to know the word? God will teach you. But you have to spend time, effort. Verse number 14. Man, this blesses my heart. Verse 14. Your value system. Now, what is your value system? He says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Now, what's the value I'm talking about? What's the value system I'm talking about? He mentions riches. This is the comparison. Testimonies, that's the word of God. Riches. Which do you value more? Well, by most people's actions, they value riches, money, possessions, being well off, being secure, great retirement, building up, all these things. That is what they live for. The Word of God. Is it in any categorization of comparableness with riches? There's a value judgment in verse number 14. I love your word as much as I value riches. Riches are fleeting. Riches don't satisfy. The word of God, though, is eternal. The word of God changes your children. The word of God changes your grandchildren. The word of God changes eternal destinies in people's lives. The greatest thing that we can invest in our loved ones is the word of God. It lasts forever. It will not pass away. So in your value system, is the word of God as important as great riches? David and the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, they several times talk about how that wisdom is of greater value than gold and silver, precious stones. Where do you get wisdom? You get it from the Word of God. You get it from the Scriptures. You get it from those that God has put in your life to preach it and teach it to you on a consistent basis. That's what you call the ordinary means of grace. The ordinary means of grace. Bible reading, singing, preaching, faithfully attending, observing the Lord's table. These are ordinary means of grace that God uses in the believer's life. But those things I just mentioned, these ordinary means of grace, are not valued in many churches today. They're not taught in many churches today. The reading of the Scripture is not valued in many churches today. They don't do it. There is power in the Word, in the written Word, in the read audibly, corporately, out loud to the congregation. I can remember in the early 70s, things I heard sitting on the pew at First Baptist Church of Decatur, Georgia, as a sophomore in high school, as a junior in high school, as a senior in high school. Same things that I had read in my Bible that spoke to me. But when I heard it spoken from the pulpit in a gathering of God's people, it was like it was shouted 10,000 times louder than when I just read it on my own. How many times I'd be blessed just hearing my preacher read his text before he started preaching. It just sounded different. It affected me. It changed me. Value system is what we're talking about. Verse 14. The Word of God is more important than anything else in our spiritual lives. Verse 15. Where's the effort? In verse 15, effort. I will meditate on your precepts, and I'll fix my eyes on your ways. There's some deliberateness of what he's saying there. Effort. I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to fix my eyes on God's Word. That this is one of the key truths that we see mention Psalm 1. The blessed man or the blessed person that doesn't do three things, doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But here's what the blessed person does. But meditates day and night in thy law. Is that right? How you spell meditate? I can't hear you. Don't worry about it. No A. Meditate. Okay. Is that right? Okay. Does that take effort? Does that take time? there's another word that helps me that's a derivative of this word meditate that helps me to understand as a somewhat country boy in my past. Ruminate. Who ruminates? Or what ruminates, I should say. Cows. Sheep also ruminate. You see, there's the same root here, but ruminate, you can go observe cows in a pasture. Early in the morning, they are going to be eating grass every morning with the dew on the ground, grabbing grass with their teeth, but they don't chew that grass. They deposit that grass. They have several stomachs, and balls of grass are deposited in those different stomachs. Then as the sun begins to rise and it gets hot, go watch them. They're going to find them a place to do what? Lay down and burp up those balls of grass and ruminate. What's another word, another description of ruminate? Chewing the cud. Chewing what they had previously eaten. And their mouth, their jaw action, back and forth. They're working that grass to get the nutrients out of it. Effort. Effort first thing in the morning. Effort as they're laying there, maybe under a shade tree. But ruminate. That's a picture of meditation. You can meditate while you're working. Even when you're doing something that takes great skill that you're working on. Of course, after you do a certain thing on your job, you can do things even kind of second nature after a period of time. Driving down the road, I can meditate. Whatever I'm doing, I can meditate. And the effort is, I'm going to think about the Word of God. I am going to chew on the Word of God. A message you hear Sunday morning or Sunday night or even tonight, do you ever think about it again? Do you chew on it? Do you, in the mornings, read Scripture? Or in the mornings, even if you don't spend time in what we call quiet time, you can still have profitable time in God's Word by thinking about it. Asking God, help me, Lord, to understand this. And the more you think about it, the more you think about it. That's what happened to me a few weeks back. At 5:10 in the morning, I was getting into the shower and I was thinking about Romans 8:29, about those whom God foreknew, those who God predestined, He called. And that's when the thought came to my mind, I'm going to purpose that I'm going to ask these four people to come forward and I'm going to give them a book like I did Sunday night. And then later on, they're going to realize that in a previous time, before they even knew, Brother Rodney had determined to do something that in time was acted out Sunday night. Now that thought came to me. I think it was from the Lord as I was meditating on that to try to make a illustration to you to help us to understand Romans 8, 28 through 31. But that's why the one who preaches and teaches the Word of God has to spend time thinking and reading, trying to understand, trying to put A and B together, trying to think, now how can I make it simple for the people to understand? It takes effort, meditating, ruminating. So what do you meditate on? You meditate on things. Every one of us do. We meditate on music, songs. We meditate on memories. We meditate on television programs, movies, all these different things. We're meditating. All of us are meditating. We're thinking about in our subconscious. We're going over and over and over thinking about things. Much of it to no value. You can meditate on it all you want. It won't value you a bit. It's like eating something that has no nutritional value at all. You can eat and eat and eat, but you're still starving. But not with the Word of God. So, in verse 15, the effort is meditate. That takes time. Also in verse 15, fixate. I'm going to fixate. I'm going to fix my eyes on your ways. Now, do you understand? It doesn't say I'm going to fix my eyes on God's words, but God's ways. And don't misunderstand me. God's word is truth. But a child doesn't understand the ways of a parent. They understand your words that you speak to them as they get up in age. And you tell them, no, okay. You tell them, do this, don't do that. And they pay attention to your words, or they're supposed to, and you're to reinforce that. But as they get older, they begin to conceptualize ways. Did you understand the ways of your parents before you had kids? I didn't. I entered a new dimension when Josh was born. And that was the dimension of being a father, having a responsibility, having flesh of my flesh that I love dearly. And then I started thinking about my mom and my dad, how they thought about me. And the ways that they lived and the things that they did that now I could understand better. And it changes you. Do you know the ways of God? I'm going to fix my eyes on your ways. How does God work? How is God's ways with his children, with his church? The ways of God. God's ways are mysterious. God's ways are many times a zigzag path. God's ways is not a straight road in the sense of our life is going to be just, you can just put it on autopilot, we're just going to keep on this road, like those you see out west, those roads you can see, you know, 10 miles, a straight road. No, we're traveling up the mountain and down the mountain. and we're traveling a zigzag path. That's the ways of God. You're traveling a path you can't see around the next corner. And we get antsy when we can't see around the corner, don't we? That's walking by faith. That's the ways of God. That's some of the about what it's talking about here, about fixing our eyes on the ways of God, meditating on the ways of God. And then the last thing, verse 16, Psalm 119, we're talking about effort on our part, effort. He says, I will delight in your statutes. I will delight. Like a man or a woman delights in fishing. Just, I like to go fishing. Sitting there by a river or sitting there by a lake or sitting there in the boat and baiting a hook, and even if they're not biting, still just enjoying, delighting. You do it and you want to do it some more. Same thing, other hobbies. You do it and you want to do it more. You delight in those things. That makes you happy, or that calms you or soothes you, or it's enjoyable. You delight in things. What is it you delight in? I don't know. But he says, I will delight in your word, your statutes, your word. Many professing Christians do not delight in God's word. That is seen by their absence at church. It's seen by their lack of picking up the Bible at home. It's seen in, you can see it on Facebook, the things that we enjoy to do and we are always doing. We delight in those things. We delight in our families. But my family doesn't come first. God comes first. That's to their betterment if I put God first. And I delight in God's statutes and I delight in God's word. It benefits my family. My family is benefited from the investment I've made in my teen years with the Word of God. And in all the years that I have tried to do these things, my family has benefited by not putting them first, by seeking first the kingdom of heaven, by putting His statutes in their rightful place. I delight in them. That takes effort. And what's the last thing in verse number 16 that takes effort? I will not forget your word. We forget things all the time, don't we? We forget to do this. We forget to pick up something. We forget to buy that at the store while we're there. We forget a lot of things. Do we forget God's word? It is my necessary bread. And as Jeremiah said, I did eat them. The words. And what do you think? What did Jesus mean? I'll end it with this question. What did Jesus mean when he said, man shall not live by bread alone? every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said that after being hungry 40 days and 40 nights. A hungry, a starving man physically. He said, you must eat God's word to live. It's necessary. I will not forget your word. I'm not going to forget to eat. Wake up in the morning usually wanting something to eat. And through the day, I don't forget to eat. You don't either. In fact, we eat quite regularly. But we sometimes neglect the most important food, God's word. Let's think about this tonight. Let's carry this with us as we leave this place tonight. Let's pray just a moment. Anybody have any praise?